The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does John 5:13 say it is possible to believe in Jesus and yet not know that you have everlasting life? It's a great question. We want to look at that today here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We want to invite you to know more about us. Look us up on our website, faithalone.org. And watch our YouTube videos on the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Back to our website, we also have a magazine called Grace in Focus with a free subscription. Find out more at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Well, today, I guess we've been coming across people who reject what we believe, that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. That is, when you believe Jesus' promise of everlasting life, you know you have everlasting life.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who say, oh, no, you can believe in Jesus, but not have this assurance of everlasting life. And one of the passages they like to point to is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And I'm going to go ahead and read that. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And they like to point that, okay, you know, they believe, but he's writing now so that they may know they have eternal life.
Right. Okay, so some people use this to say it's possible to believe in Jesus and yet not know that you have everlasting life. Yeah. In other words, you can believe in Jesus and be born again without knowing that you're secure.
Right.
In fact, you could go to the grave that way, right?
Yeah.
There are people who say you could believe whatever it means for them to believe in Jesus. For most of them, it's to believe 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, right?
Yeah, right.
Believing that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead on the third day.
Yeah.
And that he's coming again, I assume.
Yeah.
And they would say, if you believe that, you're born again, even if you don't believe, you're secure.
Yeah.
Or if you say, I know I'm saved for now.
Yeah.
I don't believe I'm saved forever, but I'm saved for now, and I'll keep it if I do X, Y, and Z. Let me say, you and I were talking about this. Mike and I just did a 7-mile walk at Grapevine Mills Mall, which they don't open till 10. So we got there at 8 o'clock and walked 7 miles and had a good walk. And we talked about this on the walk. And there are several issues here that I think are really helpful. So if you have your Bible, if you're not driving, pull your Bible out and take a look at this, because there's a couple of major issues. One issue is what text you're looking at. If you're looking at a King James or New King James, or I think it's the Modern English Version, you'll see it says, after it says that you may know that you have eternal life, it will add, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. But if you have the New International Version or the New American Standard or the Holman Christian Standard or the Net Bible, anything based on the critical text, it will leave off, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. The reason there's a textual problem is a few of the early manuscripts left that off, but the vast majority of manuscripts include it. And the King James and the New King James go with the vast majority of manuscripts. So I would say that ending is part of the text, mm-hmm. first of all.
Yeah.
Secondly, the New King James supplies the words continue to believe. And the reason why they do that is, notice, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, if it ends to say, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, it would be kind of self-contradictory, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, these things write to you who believe in the name of God, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God.
Yeah, I thought you just said they already believe.
They already believe.
Yeah.
So that's why they supply continue to. And you and I were discussing it during our walk. There's nothing in the grammar that suggests we should supply continue to.
Yeah, because that was what I've heard for a long time, like in the Gospel of John, from people who reject, you know, what we teach, is that, oh, no, all the, you know, because it's in some present form, you have, it's all interpreted as you got to continue to believe all those promises.
Some people will say John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him, that's hapistuon. It's a present articular participle. It's not a verb. It's a verbal noun.
Yeah.
But they would say this requires continuous faith.
Yeah.
Well, if it did, then a person would not be born again until they died in continuous faith.
Right.
And if at any point from the time they started believing till the time they died, it stopped, at that point they would lose their salvation or they wouldn't get it.
Right.
Because actually they didn't ever get it. You wouldn't get it until you died in continuous faith.
Okay.
The problem with that is that an articular participle is a verbal noun. Like, for example, John the Baptist is called John ha-baptizon.
Mm-hmm.
The baptizing one.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't baptized anybody in 2,000 years, and yet he's still John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so to say that someone must continue to believe makes a mockery, for example, of John 4.
Yeah.
Remember in John 4, Jesus said, if you drink the water that I'll give, you'll never thirst again. And
right.
she says, well, let me have that water so I don't have to come here.
Yeah.
And he explains to her, and I'm talking about spiritual water. I'm talking about literal water. I'm talking about believing.
Yeah.
But what it is saying is the moment we believe, we're never going to hunger. We're never going to thirst again.
Yeah.
The one who eats the bread of life will never hunger again.
Yeah.
So the idea that the present tense means continuous action is a misunderstanding of Greek grammar. And did you know that the present tense sometimes refers to events that occur in the future? It's called a futuristic present.
Wow.
Sometimes it refers to events that have already occurred in the past.
Yeah.
And often it refers to events that are ongoing, continuous, but oftentimes it just refers to an event.
Yeah.
And you have to look at the context to see whether the event is ongoing or not.
Yeah. So you're making that determination not on some sort of grammar rule, but looking at the context of each
context.
Passage.
Yeah, in fact, there's an article by Frank Stagg called The Abused Aorist.
Yeah.
And people used to say the aorist always referred to punctiliar action in the past. Punctiliar meaning point in time. But no, the aorist could refer to ongoing action sometimes, and the aorist can refer to various other types of action, and you have to look at the context.
The Grace Evangelical Society Seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. You can come study with us, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply, and if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
People used to say the aorist always referred to punctiliar action in the past. Punctiliar meaning point in time. But no, the aorist could refer to ongoing action sometimes, and the aorist can refer to various other types of action, and you have to look at the context. Same thing with the present tense. You look at the context.
So here in 1 John 5:13, he just said that they believe, and so it doesn't make sense that he's saying believe again based on the context you're saying.
Well, he says these things, actually he uses an aorist tense, I wrote, but it's typically translated something like I have written or I am writing. These things I wrote to you who believe, and those who believe is a present articular participle. So what I would argue is this. He's writing to people who believe, and they do believe right now.
Yeah.
And we know this because of the whole book and because of what he says here.
Mm.
But the fact that they believe shows that they know they have eternal life. And look back at chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 2, he says in verses 24 and 25 that he wants to abide in them what they heard from the beginning. This is more or less what he's saying in 5:13. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Father and Son. And this is the promise he has promised us, eternal life. He wants that promise to abide in them. And notice he says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you.
Yeah.
About what? Well, one of the major things is eternal life.
Yeah.
He says in chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, that the readers are people who have known him who is from the beginning, who are forgiven, who have overcome the wicked one, people who are strong, and the word of God abides in them, and they've overcome the wicked one. These are not only believers he's writing to. These are overcoming believers. These are mature believers. They didn't somehow, by 5:13, lose their assurance of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what he's saying, in my opinion.
Yeah.
These things I am writing, or I wrote to you, or I have written to you, who believe. And these things, by the way, doesn't refer to the whole book. It refers to verses 9 through 13 or verses 6 through 13 of chapter 5. These things I wrote to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may continue to know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And the reason I supply continue to before knowing is because they already know.
Right. Because if you believe in the name of the Son of God, you know you have eternal
right.
life.
Right. Yeah. And the same reason they supply continue to before believe in the name of the Son of God, because it says they believe in the name of the Son of God. Yeah. So I would put continue in both places, not because of the grammar, but because of the context yeah. of the whole book cool. and the context. In an immediate context, he said, if you start in verse 10, he who believes in the Son has the witness in himself. And he says, this is the testimony that God has given us life, and this life is in his Son.
Yeah.
He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Well, these are people who have that testimony. They believe this.
Yeah.
So they already know they have eternal
life.
And I've heard people say, use this verse to try to say, no, they were believers, but they didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that a lot, too.
No, they were believers and they knew. The issue here is he wants them to continue to believe. That's why he wrote the book, so they wouldn't be deceived by the false teachers, yeah. which he calls Antichrist.
Christ, who reject the saving message that Jesus is the Christ,
right.
the one who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him for it.
That's right. And by the way, we have a lot of articles, free articles, at our website, faithalone.org. We also have what I believe is the best commentary on 1st through 3rd John by Zane Hodges that I would highly recommend you consider. And we have articles by Hodges that are free on 1st through 3rd John. But this verse is not a verse that is saying that it's possible to believe in him and at the same time not know that I believe in him. If I believe in him, I know I believe in him. And if I believe in him, I know I have what he promises, which is everlasting life. What we need to recognize is it's possible to fall away. And every one of us could fall away. I am keenly aware that I could fall away.
And the Apostle John was warning people against.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get deceived by these antichrists.
Right.
Yeah.
If we think we can't fall, we become more likely to fall.
Right.
I mean, I have so many friends I know that were in pastorates and they've fallen away on one of the major fundamental truths of the faith. Maybe not assurance of everlasting life, but key fundamental truths they've lost. In some cases, losing their assurance of everlasting life. You can't lose everlasting life, but you can lose your assurance.
Yeah.
And that's what John's writing about here, that you may continue to know. And so, yes, we have a know-so faith.
Yeah.
As long as we continue to believe, as long as we have the testimony of God, we know we have eternal life.
And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On the next episode, all about Grace Evangelical Society's online seminary and free MDiv degree, how you can apply. Join us for that, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.